Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The Game, Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, and the Constable, Chase McCabe. Stick to Sports is coming up at 8:45. Also in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Jackie Redmond from the NHL Network. So we will talk to her in about 30 minutes. I believe we will touch base with Terry Crisp in a matter of moments as well. And it's funny, it's like you think about this series and this game tomorrow, and we started off the show talking about, you know, what's the environment going to be like? Is this a fan base that's going to come in rowdy and jacked up, or maybe a little fragile going in, you know, kind of cautiously optimistic, but at the first sign of trouble, like if this team falls behind 1-0, is it all of a sudden sitting on your hands?
Oh, I think that whole building is puckered pretty quickly if things don't go their way early. It doesn't mean the Preds aren't capable of bouncing back and still getting a win, even if they give up a goal early. But I do think it's important. I want to see the first period of game one. I want to see them come out and be the aggressor, dictate style, dictate tempo, because then the building will automatically, you know, it's going to be loud. It's going to be like a great Bridgestone Arena crowd like it always is. It'll be packed. It'll be loud. They'll have the pregame festivities going early there, so get to your seats early per usual as I channel my inner Sean Henry. But it always is great. So that part of it will be great. The key is for the team to keep the crowd sustained and that energy level high. So that means all the things we talked about last segment, right? That means pressuring on the forecheck and all that good stuff.
All right, we got Terry Crisp. He's now with us, Preds analyst, brought to you by the Highland Group. Crispy, happy Friday. How are you, sir?
Doing great, gentlemen. Thank you very much. It's a little rainy to the wet out there, but hey, that won't bother us. That's not going to dampen our spirits either, by the way, gentlemen.
Nothing dampens my spirits when I'm talking to you, Crispy. There's no question. Let me, you're a former coach. You can get us a little bit more X's and O's. You know, we were talking about this last segment. We're not smart enough hockey coach guy to know the schematics of getting into the offensive zone and creating more pressure. What is it that you think that the Predators need to do with the Jofa line, with all the other lines, to sort of get the puck into the zone more effectively and then create sustained pressure? Is there a strategy change that fans need to know about that we should see and look for from the Preds?
Probably the biggest thing, and watching our team and how we played before, and how we're capable of playing, and we always talk about speed. We have speed. Most of the teams have it. But when you watch the other teams playing, most of them now are making their entries with puck possession. We're not going for the long bomb, the dump and chase, throw it in the corner at the goalie or whatever. I'm watching all the other series, and they're making plays coming out of their own zone, short 8-foot pass, 10-foot pass, 5-foot pass, and they're entering the other zone with possession rather than have to go in and bang and crash around and try and get it. And being honest, most of these other teams are bigger than our teams, and we're not getting to the puck winning the one-on-one battles. So if you're not going to win the one-on-one battles on your dump-ins and on that long, dozy alley-oop pass or that long up to the far blue line pass where they tip it and then it goes and then we start chasing again, I always go back to a long, long time ago when I was playing and we played against the Russians who dominated the world of hockey back then in World Cup. They never dumped. And it was sacrilegious to dump it. They always returned, brought it back, ended with control. So to my way of thinking, our team's quite capable of making 5, 8, 10-foot passes and using speed and carry the puck. Remember, I always look back to when we had our great rushes, Ekholm, Josi, Subban, Smitty, whoever, they all say that they're keeping us to the outside. Okay, but remember we used to come down, go around the net, make the wrap around, come around. How many times did you see Josi hang on to that puck and come out and make a great play or a great pass or a great shot on net, whatever? We got to get back to that.
Crispy, I want to get your perspective on special teams. Obviously, we know the issues with the power play, but I want to look at it from the other side of things in the penalty kill and the lack of discipline. You know, in 2018, one of the themes with the Predators was committing too many penalties, going to the box too often. We've seen that rear its ugly head again this series. I mean, just how paramount is it for the remainder of this series to stay disciplined and not have to play at the one-man disadvantage?
Absolutely. Absolutely paramount that we do not. Now, I know it's easy to sit in the sideline and say it. And I know it's easy for us to say, hey, keep your cool. Unless you're out on that ice, unless you've played it, unless you've been banged and crashed and whatever it is, you don't realize just how hard. But there comes a time when you have to mentally say, you know what, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take the cheap shots from after the whistle. I'm going to take the cheap slash or the cheap cross check after the whistle, because the referees, and I don't care who they are, which ones are doing it, a lot of times they'll miss the initial one, but they catch the retaliation because it's obvious most times, and you're going. And even though you have a legitimate reason that the guy run you or the guy slashed you or he cross-checked you, that doesn't matter anymore. You were fished in. The guy suckered you into taking a penalty. That's the first thing that we have to decide that we're going to do is outmaneuver them. And the second thing is that let's start creating some penalties. Let them take some penalties. And how do we do that? Our speed. Take the puck, drive to the net, make them take a slash or a hook. But having said all that, the referees are driving me nuts because I can almost feel what the players are going through out there. Some nights, there's nothing called. You get away with sheer mayhem out there on the ice. Okay, anything you want. Another night, you get different referees or whoever. You even touch a guy, ticky-tacky, touch your stick on his hand or on his stick. Up goes the hand, up goes it. And once the hand's up and the guy makes the call, you have no recourse. I mean, as much as you'd like to lay into him, as much as you'd like to give him a piece of your mind, it's not going to do you any good. It's only going to result in another 2 minutes. So I guess the biggest thing I'm saying is discipline.
Yeah, Crispy, you bring up a good point with the referees. I mean, we know in the Stanley Cup playoffs, by and large, the referees try to stay out of it, let teams play. It's a physical time of the year. I mean, just how surprised are you by the fact that they've been so involved the first four games?
Very, because normally, and I always said, why don't we get the best referees for the whole playoff? Never mind the rotation of giving guys a chance and that. They'll earn their spurs during the regular season. But when the playoffs come along, pick your best referees and rotate them. And then the guys get to know them, and the guys get to realize who they are. Because I always said that once you know a referee, you have common respect for each other out on the ice. Him for you, and you for him. But I see so many new referees and different ones coming in. Every time I see them coming in, certain pairing, you just shake your head and say, oh, no. Here we go again tonight.
Terry Crisp joining us, Morning Drive. He's brought to you by the Highland Group. Crispy, two things I want to get to. You look at the Joffe line. Clearly, I think you could say Philip Forsberg has come to play. He's got some production. But so far, Johansson and Arvidsson haven't been a factor. Then you look at the blue liners. P.K. Subban, I think, has had the best series of any defenseman on the team. But after that, Yossi, Ellis, Matthias Ekholm. Ekholm's had a handful of penalties. So the two most notable aspects of this team, the Joffe line and the core four defensemen, by and large, have not had great production. How much and how badly does that need to change over the next 2 to 3 games?
Oh, that's the key to our team. That's what we have to get going. They've led us all along. They know they're capable of it. We know they're capable of it. They've just got to mentally get it going again. And you guys mentioned earlier about X and O's. All the X and O's in the world are not going to help it. It's them in their own mind saying, you know what, we're going to match the Jamie Benn line or we're going to match Radulov or whoever it is. We're going to be as good as them or better than them tonight. And our defense corps are quite capable of picking it up and doing that and saying, you know what, tonight's my night. I'm going to take the puck. I'm going to make a play. I'm going to make a pass. I'm going to make a give and go. We've seen them do it. And it's just, to me, it's just simply mental preparation and saying that, you know what, we want the first round. We want to get to the second round. Like the other night in Dallas, it was so, I don't know the word, obvious, I guess, is one that they had the bigger mentality towards what they were doing. They come out flying, hitting, and we didn't bring our game at all that night for some reason, getting behind the eight ball that early.
Crispy, good stuff as always. We appreciate the time. Thank you very much, and we will see you somewhat bright and early tomorrow, 2 p.m. puck drop.
Ooh. Yes, we will. And don't forget, it's still playoffs. We're still tied at 2 games apiece. And it's 2 out of 3, and we have 2 home games. Let's make it count. And that means our fans will carry us.
There you go. Terry Crisp, thank you very much. Terry Crisp, brought to you by the Highland Group. The number for tomorrow, the Preds, -145 favorites.
Now, I will say this, that they, if you look back in the postseason, the last few, just let's say just last year, you know, and even frankly this year, they lose game one, they bounce back with a great performance in game two, and they win. Against Winnipeg, they lose game one, they bounce back with a really good performance, even though that game was pretty even, they still got the W. They go up and they lay an egg in game three. They bounce back with a great performance in game four. They lay an egg in game five. They come back with a great performance in game six. You guys are catching the drift here. Mm-hmm. When this team has had a dud of a game, which, again, we all have to acknowledge, there are far too many duds, right? Yeah. You can't have duds in the postseason. But when they do have one, which they've had a lot of, they have bounced back and won most of the games following. So I do expect them to play well, but it's one of those you got to prove it to me. It's sort of like, Nick, you were saying all year, like, I'm not buying in until I see him win the first playoff series. So,
but yeah. The difference here is that I think we can all agree, hopefully, that this Dallas Stars team is a much better defensive unit. The way they play defense, that I think what we've seen, even in the Winnipeg game. So when the Predators have a really bad game, they're able to bounce back with a really good game. I don't think that would be the case. I don't think that's the case. I'm not saying they're going to lose, but to assume that, oh, they're going to have their, you know, 5-1 game or 4-0 game, I think they can bounce back and win. But I don't think they can have a dominant performance like that because Dallas prides themselves
different style
on defense and defense.
Well,
now
and they far better goalie than Connor Hellebuck.
Now they might get some soft goals here and there, which I don't expect either. But I don't expect them to now go tit for tat. Oh, y'all dominated us, now we're gonna dominate you.
Well,
I expect them to win, but I expect them to, it to be 2-1.
Yeah, I just
3-2.
I'm just trying to give some fans some image.
Get them off
of
the ledge.
Well, yeah, to some degree, but also just like, what do we really know about tomorrow? Like, we think we know the power play is going to be terrible. We think Pekka will be good, but he wasn't great last game. We think the defense should be good, but they haven't been that great. Like, there's like, what do we know? We're all just guessing. And one of the, like, we can look at history to try to predict the future, right? And even just the last playoff series this team played, when they got drubbed, they played well the following game. Whether they dominated or not, they bounced back well against Winnipeg. They just ran out of games. Against, had there been an eighth game, I would have put the Predators to win game eight. But you only get seven
chances. Then there had been a ninth.
You only get seven chances. So
if it's best of nine, my ticker, I can't take it.
So if you want some hope, this team has been good bouncing back from a bad loss.
All right, our friend Reed Besh, who we had on the show about 2 weeks ago, has been nominated by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society as a Man of the Year candidate. Remember, we were at Barrel House. We gave him the tickets for the Preds Blackhawks season finale on Saturday. He's gone through an unbelievable difficult time in his life. Anyone who donates to Team Reed today from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. will be qualified to win a VIP draft experience with ESPN's Golic and Wingo and First Take with Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith at Nissan Stadium next Friday. Reed's main goal is to find cures for blood cancers, so any amount will help. Go to our Twitter account, at 1025thegame, to learn how you can donate. So help out our buddy Reed Besh, who obviously dealing with one of the most difficult things, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Just an unbelievable young man, no question about it. The parents, the family, everybody, just an amazing group of people. So anything you can do to help would be greatly appreciated. There is some extra stuff around the First Take and all the cool stuff that's going on over there for the draft next. Chase, you are management. Are you allowed to – when are we allowed to discuss the things that are taking place extra around the NFL draft?
When I get filled in on everything, because I have no idea.
You were at the meeting yesterday,
but
with all of us.
Filled in with everything.
Was that because you were too busy texting us during the meeting, Chase?
No, it was probably something to do with the fact that I had 3 hours of sleep and could barely stay awake. You know,
and had just gotten off a plane.
Yeah, and just got off a plane. So
tropical storm constable cranking.
All right, if you could find out when we're, because I'm really excited about a lot of stuff, and part of it has to do with the Reed Besh promotion. There will be a tiny little caveat to that First Take and that Golic and Wingo that will be featured by us.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
And it may enhance the experience there for people that may be wanting to go to that. And I just am curious, along with many other things that we've got planned for our audience next week, when we are allowed to start discussing this. And Constable, as management, I look to you for answers, per usual.
Hey, you also put me on the spot, per usual, but oh well.
Citations?
No, I'm not putting you on the spot.
Just issued?
It's just ask around and do some digging and find out when we're allowed to say some stuff.
pay what you owe.
Hey, Porth, Jana, when are we allowed? That's all you got to say. They hear us. They're listening. Porth, damn it, they hear us. Porth, Jana, when can we start talking about
what all the cool stuff we got
cool
planned?
Cool stuff that you guys have put together for this station. When can we start talking about it so we can get our people to come out
also,
and participate and come and meet their the people they listen to every morning.
Donate to Reed Besh because there could be some extra cool stuff with that. So
we've got a meeting today at 2 in the conference room, putting the final touches on some things.
See, that's how you do it. Chase, we didn't even have to send Chase through all that.
Boys, got a lot on my plate. We're back after this.
Listen, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, guys, I've been telling you about their growth, man. The city of Nashville's growing like crazy. So is Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. They're growing right along with you guys. Now they've opened a second office out there on the west side on Highway 100, south of Dixon. So now they can service all those great communities out there, Fairview, Dixon, Bonacqua, all those great communities out there. They've been doing a great job, such a good job, that they've now doubled in size. They now have doubled their area, their territory, the number of homes they can cover, and the efficiency with which they can cover the territory. It's tremendous. Kevin and the guys over there at Spring Hill Heating and Cooling have done such a great job. And you, the community, have responded by being such great stewards and supporters of them that, of course, they now have twice the personnel to handle twice the area. Again, second office, Highway 100, south of Dixon, out there on the west side. They now can cover far more territory and do it more efficiently. All the same great stuff, right? Same great comfort club, same great financing options, same great repair and service and personal touch that they're going to put on their help and support of your home. So help keep your house running smoothly, efficiently, and most importantly, not too costly. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, they're the guys that take care of our houses and my family. I don't have multiple houses, but like all the people in my family. We're not using the other guys anymore. Only Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. SpringHillAC.com is the website. SpringHillAC.com. That's SpringHillAC.com. And tell them Braden sent you.